Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
We usually talk about imputed righteousness, that God has taken away your sin and then imputed the righteousness of Christ onto you as a believer. So that when God interacts with you, He doesn't interact with you minus your sin. He interacts with you with the righteousness of Christ.
God is faithful and just to forgive. But God does more than forgive our sins. He clothes us with His righteousness, making it possible for us lowly sinners to have fellowship with the Creator of the world, our Savior. We are studying forgiveness and why we as Christians should be quick to forgive because of how God forgives us. With part two of our study in 2 Samuel 16, 5 through 14, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Jesus prayed several times from the cross, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He forgave people who crucified Him. And if Jesus could forgive people who crucified Him, then we need to look back in our lives at those that we're holding bitterness against and let them go and let them be forgiven. There is no defense that helps Shimei. No one's going to try to defend this guy. I've never heard in a message anybody say, "Now let's talk about why Shimei was okay in what he did." There's absolutely no defense. So let's take a look at the advice that David gets. This is 2 Samuel 16, verse 9. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah — Zeruiah was David's, well, Abishai was his nephew. I think Zeruiah is his sister. So the king, I'm just wondering if it's his sister or his brother, but I think Zeruiah is his sister, so it's the son of David's sister is what it's saying. Said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please let me go over there and take his head." Now that might be a bit of an overreaction. He is throwing rocks, that's pretty dangerous. He is cursing the king, that's pretty dangerous. I don't know how many people in history get away with cursing the king, so those are pretty dangerous. But it's a bit of an overreaction, and we have to beware of overreactions. Shimei is a shameful jerk. I've called him a lowlife and a jerk so far, so you guys know how I feel about him. But he doesn't deserve to die. But here, David gives us an example to live by. But David, the king, said, "What have I to do with you, O sons of Zeruiah?" Now, if you've been with us in our study through the life of David, you know that David has said this several times. If I had a dollar for every time David says, "What am I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah?" These guys were guys who wanted to get in a fight all the time. They wanted to take people on. They were willing to do whatever it was that he needed to have done. "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, 'Curse David.' Who then shall say, 'Why have you done so?'" Now, David's in a really low point. In a really low point, you could snap, you could become defensive, you could overreact. But David does something that maybe we should do. And that is, maybe God's hand is in this somehow. Maybe we need someone to kick up dust and to question us and insult us and throw some rocks at us. Look, God uses all kinds of things in our lives. The Bible tells us that God uses difficulties, that He uses suffering. He can even use evil for His own purposes. Think about the cross. How evil was it to crucify the Son of God? And God used that evil to bring salvation to anyone who would call upon His name. So God can use anything. So whatever you may be going through, you can ask to be delivered from it for sure. And perhaps God will, but also understanding, I'm going through this at work with this person, or I've got this person that seems to be attacking me all the time. Understanding that maybe God's using it to work something out in you. Maybe God's using it for discipline. All things work together for the good, right? To those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. And so David said, maybe God's hand is this. Now, what an example for us. In fact, it's important for us to not be offended so easily, to grow some thick skin. When I had just started pastoring, way back in the 1980s, somebody had given me a tape by Charles Swindoll to young pastors. And he was just giving advice. He was pretty young back in those days too, just not as young as me. But he was giving advice. One of the things that he said was, as a pastor, you have to have thick skin. And then Charles Swindoll fashion, rhinoceros skin. How thick? Like a rhinoceros. You got to have a duck's back. When people say something to insult you, it needs to roll off. And I can tell you over the years, people have said things, and it hurts when it's someone closer. The closer they are to you, the more someone says things that ends up being tough to take. When my late wife Lisa passed away, some people said some things that got through my rhinoceros skin that took a while for it to really roll off the back. Sometimes we can be brutal in saying things instead of being comforting, but we need to grow some thick skin. We're way too easily offended. We're going to offend one another. We're in close proximity, close enough at times to smell each other's breath, or to step on toes when we go by someone on an aisle, or whatever else. No wonder Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Seen too many people get offended and walk out the doors never to come back again because they're easily offended. Don't be easily offended. There may be something worth being offended over, but don't be easily offended. Grow some thicker skin. Proverbs 19:11 says, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Being slow to anger, and it's a glory of a man to overlook a transgression. Someone transgresses against you, and you can say, it's fine. No problem. It's okay. I forgive you. Whatever it is. James 1:19 says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. 2 Timothy 2:24 says, and the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, and patience. That's one of my favorite passages, by the way. It's a very personal passage to me. Because as a younger man, I used to like to argue. Before I ever began pastoring, I would take the opposite side of an argument to argue with somebody. Just because I wanted to argue. Even if I agreed with them, I'd be like, I'm just playing the devil's advocate here. But listen to it again. 2 Timothy 2:24, and the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. There shouldn't be any quarreling. There shouldn't be any fighting. And so David responds in verse 13, and as they continue, as David and his men went along the road, Shimei went along the hillside opposite him and cursed as he went, threw stones at them, kicked up dust. Now the king and all of the people who were with him became weary, and they refreshed themselves there. So as they got to the backside of the Mount of Olives, they took time to stop and refresh themselves before they're going to go out into the wilderness and finally have to deal with those things. Now, we need to go to the future in order to find the resolution here. So we're going to go to chapter 19 of the book of 2 Samuel. And here, spoiler alert, it's all done. David and his men have won. We'll cover what happens to Absalom as we take time to make our way through here. But David is returning to Jerusalem, and certain people are meeting him and interacting with him as he returns. This is precarious for some people, because some people stayed behind where Absalom was and didn't go with the king. And now they're a little worried. David has soundly won and is returning. And so this is 2 Samuel chapter 19, 19 through 23. David has defeated Absalom and is returning to Jerusalem. This is a joyous occasion for him. He has mourned his son, spoiler alert, he has mourned his son, but as he's returning, there's joy that God has brought him back the kingdom again. And of all things, here comes this lowlife, Shimei. What else did I call him? I was very careful with what I called him. I wrote down fool and then erased it because of what Jesus said, right? Here's this guy, Shimei, shows up again. after treating the king this way when he is the most down. And Shimei, the son of Gear, the Benjamite, who was from Bahurim, hurried and came down with the men of Judah to meet the king. There were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and 20 servants with him. And they went over the Jordan before the king. Then a ferry boat went across to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. Now Shimei, the son of Gear, fell down before the king when he had crossed the Jordan. Then he said to the king, "Do not let my lord impute iniquity to me." By the way, that's a great prayer and a great look on how we forgive. Don't impute iniquity to me. Now, this is a theological term, to impute. We use it theologically. We usually talk about imputed righteousness, that God has taken away your sin and then imputed the righteousness of Christ onto you as a believer. So that when God interacts with you, he doesn't interact with you minus your sin. He interacts with you with the righteousness of Christ. It's a pretty amazing picture of who we really are. But this isn't a bad prayer for us either. Lord, don't impute my sin to me. The Bible says that God's faithful and just to forgive. And God will forgive whatever that sin is. We've learned that there may indeed be consequences to sin. That's part of the lesson of the life of David, that even though he's forgiven, there are consequences. And sometimes maybe that's why it's so hard for us to accept forgiveness for ourselves, because we still go through the consequences of whatever it is that we did. And so we face it and we go through it. But really, what a good prayer for Shimei to pray. Do not impute iniquity to me. I don't know how you are when someone says, "I'm sorry." I hope as a Christian that you respond to that positively. That you don't say things to people like, "Well, we'll just see if you're really sorry or not." But that you are so quick to forgive. And you know why I think as a Christian we can do that? Because we've asked God to forgive us. "Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry, help me." And so when someone comes and says, "I'm sorry for what I did," then just forgive them. I try to do as quickly as I can and to truly let it go. I've got just a bad enough memory that I can actually forget it. And someone could talk to me later on and they'll be like, "Remember when I did that?" I'm like, "I forgot about it. Now you brought it up." I'd forgot that it even had happened. But really, letting it go is so incredibly powerful. Then he said to the king, "Do not let the Lord impute iniquity on me, or remember what wrong your servant did on the day that the Lord, the king, left Jerusalem, that the king should take it to heart." Now, I don't know how much David took it to heart. He said, "Let him go," but probably thought about it. That Shimei kicking up dirt and throwing rocks. "For I, your servant, know that I have sinned." It's another great statement to make when we're asking for forgiveness. "I know I've sinned." That was the sin of the tax collector who beat his chest and wouldn't even look up, that said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That's repentance. "Lord, I'm a sinner." I don't know that you got to go down the list and confess every sin you ever committed. You might be there a long time. And you also might have to restrike it up daily with God. But "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Certainly there's times to confess before God a particular sin. But "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." He says, "I know that I have sinned. Therefore, here I am, the first to come today of all the house of Joseph and go down to meet the Lord, the king." So I really appreciate this. Again, we don't need somebody to come to us before we forgive them or let them go. But David is going to express it. And once again, we find in verse 21, Abishai is right there. "But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to Saul, Shall not Shimei be put to death for this? Because he cursed the Lord's anointed. And David said, what have I to do with you, sons of Zeruiah? Just, here we go again. Now, a lot of time has passed, right, since the last time that he said it. And now here he is again. What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? That you should be advisor to me today. Shall any man be put to death today in Israel? For do I not know that today I am king over Israel? Therefore the king said to Shimei, you shall not die. And the king swore to him. Now, why did David forgive like this? What do you think it was about David that allowed him to be able to forgive this guy that would have just done such a thing? David himself knew what it was like to be forgiven. When we understand that, when we really understand it, we become people who forgive. This is why Christians forgive, because we've been forgiven. It's easy to forgive, and we become like our Lord who forgave us when we are those who will forgive. It's also true that if you don't forgive, you're probably not hurting them at all. You think that you're holding something against them and that they're paying for it by you not forgiving them. But what's happening is a root of bitterness is developing in you. And the Bible says that roots of bitterness have defiled many. Don't let that root of bitterness grow inside of you, but be that forgiving person. Now, three things in closing. Number one, cultivate a thick skin. Take time to not so easily be offended. And if you have relationships with people that you know that you've minimized or you've cut off because of an offense, then let it go and maybe even recultivate those relationships. Number two, humility is the key to beginning to be able to forgive. Lose a sense of self-importance. How important was David? He's the king. But humility is one of the keys. Well, you sinned against me. Of course I forgive you. I sinned against God, and he forgave me. So if we have a sense of self-importance, we start doing the, oh no, you didn't. You won't do that to me. And I've heard people say that before, not the, oh no, you didn't, except on TV. But I've heard people say before, they won't do that to me. It's like, what? Who's the me here? Why won't they do that to you? Because of a self-importance? Because of a lack of humility? People have sinned against you. You sinned against God. So we let it go. Finally, recall when you have been the offender and you have been forgiven. So when you're ready to forgive, recall that you've been the offender before. You've thrown rocks at God, as it were. You've kicked up dust in the air at God, and God forgave you. And may God give you the wisdom to be able to find yourself forgiving the people that are around you. May you be able to walk in the forgiveness that you have from God, but may you be able to forgive. And what a great example we have here in front of us today. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for the time that we've been able to spend in your word today, considering the topic of forgiveness. And Lord, we confess that we struggle with forgiving ourselves when we sin against you. And I pray that you would help us to see ourselves as you see us, those who have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Lord, we are thankful for that. One day, Ephesians 1 says, you have foreordained for us to be holy and pure. One day it won't be a struggle for us anymore. We will be holy and pure because you have foreordained it for us. Lord, we also ask that you would help us to forgive those who have offended us. Very real, very heavy offenses for some who are here. For some, Lord, there are those that just have minor offenses they need to let go. For others, there's very real things that affected their lives in great ways. And I pray that they would have the Holy Spirit moving inside of it, that they could let it go, that that bitterness would not build up in them. And Lord, we put them in your hands. Maybe you'll do a great work. Bring them into the kingdom. Or they'll be judged by you for what they did. And so we put them in your hands. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, please, for just a few moments. And if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, then I want to give you an opportunity to be able to do that. If you've never said, I'm done living for myself, I'm now ready to live for Him. Jesus said, you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. In John 1:12, we're told how to do that. As many as receive Him, He gives the right to become a child of God to those who call on His name. So any of you here that say, I want to invite Jesus into my life, Jesus has given you invitations. He said, are any of you weary and heavy laden? Then come unto me and I'll give you rest. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come unto me and drink, and out of you will flow rivers of living water. He's given invitations to you, just as He did to Peter, James, and John. Follow me, He said, and they left their nets and they followed Him. And so Jesus is inviting you to follow Him today. So that if you say, I want you in my life, you've got the power of the door over your life. As many as receive Him, He gives the right to become a child of God. And so if you've never given your life to Him, or if some point in the past you made a commitment to Christ, but then you didn't follow through with it, and you know you need to make it right, then I'm going to ask you to do something that's simple, but very profound, and that's just raise your hand. You're saying, I want Christ in my life. I'm done living for myself. I want the forgiveness that Jesus brings. I want it applied to my life. I want to go to heaven, but I also want to do the work that He's called me to do here. You want to give your life to Christ? Then just raise your hand now. I want to acknowledge your hand. I want to pray with you, and I want to pray for you. God bless you. Ma'am, up in the balcony. God bless you under the balcony on the left. That's great. If you're watching online, you can pray this prayer with me as well. You can invite Jesus into your life. God bless you. Anyone else? All right, you could put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned, and I know my sin has separated me from You. But I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite You into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for You as a disciple of Jesus, as a follower of Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio, or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.